If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Exodus chapter 3 this morning. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 this morning. We'll begin by just reading the first verse, verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we bow our hearts before thee this morning. And dear God, we pray that you would speak to us. And Lord, that we would listen. And we would hear what you would have to say to us this morning. For thy glory, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Many times we sing hymns of the faith, and our hymn book is filled with them, about God's leading. How God leads us, where God leads us. Hymns like, He leadeth me, or all the way my Savior leads me. But the question as we begin this morning is, do we really believe that God has led us right here this morning? Do we believe that God has led us here this morning to this very place in this very point of time? Here we are. It's October 31st, 2021, 9:55 in the morning. And each one of us here, we're gathered together at a certain place, Lakes Bond Baptist Church, here in this room. It's a certain moment in time, a certain place, a certain location, and a certain group of people. And so many times we speak and we say, and I know we believe there's no coincidences and that God leads us. But ask yourself this morning, do we really believe that God has led us right here this morning at this moment in time to this place? And if so, why? You can just imagine the life of Moses. And all of a sudden, one day, Moses finds himself out in the backside of the desert. Have you ever been at that place where you say, where am I and how did I get here? Right? You don't think that some of those days and some of those hours and some of those moments, Moses is out there with a flock of sheep in the middle of a barren desert on the backside of the mountain saying, how did I get here? What am I doing here? You go back and look at his life. I mean, starts off with a miraculous birth. He's left in a little basket on the brink of a river. Finds himself growing up in palace, the home of Pharaoh. Then finds himself fleeing for his life. Finds himself down in Midian, the home of a priest of Midian. Finds himself married to a woman. Finds himself having a child, a boy. In fact, in verse number 22 of chapter 2, he says, I've been a stranger in a strange land. And now all of a sudden, he finds himself on the back side of the desert. And at probably some point he says, how did I get here and what am I doing here? This morning I want us to look at Exodus chapter 3 here. And I want us to see three things this morning. Three things from the life of Moses. We're going to see the path. that led him to where he was, the place where he was, and then the purpose of why he was there. Because that's what we need to look at this morning for our own lives. The path and the place and the purpose. Otherwise, we come in and we go out and why was I there this morning? Why was I there at Lakes Palm Baptist Church on October 31st, 2021? You know, the first thing we see here is the path. How Moses got here. Now, it says in verse number 1, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And I know you're saying, well, duh, that's pretty obvious, Pastor. He led the flock to the backside of the desert. You might say, well, it's pretty obvious how I got here this morning. I got the car and I left my house and I got... No, I mean, how in the course of your life, from the moment you were born till right now, did you wind up in this place this morning? Ever just stop and think about that? We all come from different places, different families, different locations. I mean, each one of us different. But how did we all wind up here in the same place, right here at this one location this morning? I look back at my life, and many times I've looked back at my life, and I've seen how I've wound up here this morning. And it's been much more than me bringing myself here. But it's understanding that God has brought me here this morning. That God has brought you here this morning. You see, yes, we read that Moses led the flock to the backside of the desert. In that specific moment, we can see that Moses took his flock and he brought them to a certain location. But when you read from Exodus chapter 2 down to chapter 3, you see something more important. You see that while Moses was moving in his life, that more importantly, God was moving in his life. That God was working out the details and God was moving the pieces into place and God was moving in Moses' life to bring him right here, this place where he was at that moment in time. When I look back at my life and circumstances, my wife and I, there's no earthly reason why we should be in Waterford, Connecticut. No reason at all. Had no desire to be here. Had no thought of Connecticut. Didn't know anything about Waterford. No, I was born in Connecticut. Born in the armpit of Connecticut, Derby, Connecticut. Pardon me if you're from Derby, but that's what I was told. It's the armpit of Connecticut. 6 months later, my folks moved to Massachusetts. So how did I wind up years later in Waterford, Connecticut? I thought Waterford was south of the border. Never knew that Connecticut was part of New England. Never had any inkling, never had any desire to come down here. But I can look back, and for the sake of time, I won't go into all the details. But many times I've looked back and seen specific things that God did to bring me right here this morning. And I can look back and recognize and see not my hand in my life, not the hand of my parents in my life, but the hand of God. And so it was with Moses. Yes, Moses took that flock, and yes, Moses physically led that flock, but more importantly, from Exodus 2 all the way down to Exodus 3, more importantly, it was God was leading him. God was bringing him to this place. And that's why I say this morning, If we truly believe there's no coincidences, if we truly believe in God's leading in our life, then we must acknowledge that God has brought each one of us into this very place in this very moment of time. That it's not that we said, okay, let's have a service. That we said, okay, we're going to go to church. But that God, upon his throne, the God who is in control of all things, said, I want you to be in that seat this morning, in that room, in that place, in that church in Waterford, Connecticut at 10:03. And God has brought us here. So let's stop and think about it. As we think of the path, not only did God lead the man, I mean, Moses led the flock, but God was leading the man. But look where he led him. Think about it. God led Moses to the backside of the desert. To the backside of the desert. Why? Why, as God was working in his life, did he lead Moses to the backside of the desert? Why did God bring you and me here this morning? Backside of the desert. I know why God brought him to the backside of the desert. Because God wanted to bring him to a special place. And you know, when you think of the backside of the desert, first thing you think about, boy, I tell you what, wasn't anybody else around, was there? God brought him to a place apart from everywhere and everybody and everything else. God brought him to a place apart from everything. Why? Because God wanted him apart from everything so he could be alone with one person, God. So many times we get caught up in all that's going on in this life. All the things and all the things of this life. That we don't take time and we don't have time to get alone with the one person we need to be alone with God. God led Moses to the backside of the desert. His wife, his child, his family, no one else around. Just a bunch of dirty, smelling, stinking sheep in a place where couldn't even get a hamburger. Apart from everything else. You know, that's what God wants this morning. That's why God has us get together this morning. So that we can get apart from everything else and get alone with God. To get apart from everything else so that we can get alone with God. He brought him to a place. I mean, you know, you look at verse number one and verse number two. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. You know, he brought him to a place where the only thing, I mean, he saw this bush that burned with fire. But God brought him to a place where he would only see one thing. One thing. Just a bush that burned with fire. God was in that bush. But God wants us to be at the place where there's only one thing we see. Him. Because our eyes get so diverted and so distracted. I have a hard time driving. Not because I have bad eyes, but because I have good eyes. Well, my eyes are bad, but when my glasses are good. But I have a hard time driving because I'm one of those distracted drivers. And I don't need a cell phone to be distracted. Anything outside the window of my car is a distraction. Anything. I mean anything. I'm driving down the road and my eyes just, all of a sudden they're over there. In fact, just yesterday you had to bring my attention back to the road, didn't you, Allison? Right? We're driving down the road. She's in the back seat and all of a sudden I hear, please, get your eyes on the road. Well, I wasn't off that side. Worse than that, I was over in this lane and someone was coming in the other direction and I hear this sweet voice in the back. Get your eyes on the road. But isn't that the way with life? Life is so powerful in getting our eyes off of God and off of Christ. From everything from the cares of life to the concerns of life, the troubles of life. God brought Moses to this one place where all he would see was God, nothing else. But you know something else here? I want you to notice something. Verse number 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called on him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. You know, this was also a place of watching. We come into church and we come in and we have our purpose and our reason for coming in. But you know, every time we walk in, it's a place where someone else is watching. And I don't mean you are watching them or them are watching you. I mean that God is watching us. God leads Moses to this place. And the Bible says, Moses said, I'll turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And Moses turned to see. But more important than Moses turning to see is what we see in the next verse. When God, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. You know what God is watching this morning? God is watching you and God is watching me to see if our heart is seeking him. God is looking down this morning and he's watching to see if you and I really want to be here to see and hear from him. Because you know as well as I know that so many times we can come in, we can go out, we can sit, we can hear, we can see, and we can leave. And it's nothing more than a habit in our life. That's why nothing changes. And Moses says, I'm going to turn aside to see this great sight. And the Lord said, I'm watching to see if Moses will turn aside. Because if and when Moses turns aside to see, then I can accomplish my purpose in Moses' life. And God's watching this morning, folks. He's seen us come in. He's seen us get ready. He's seen us drive here. He's seen us come in. But God is saying, I want to see if they really want to see me this morning. And the Lord God, the Lord saw that he turned aside to see that great sight. And so God brings Moses to this place. God led him there, a place that was apart from everywhere else, a place that he was alone with God, a barren place with nothing to see but God, a place where God was seeing if Moses would turn aside to see. You know, Moses could have very well seen that bush and said, you know what, I have many other things to take care of. I got a flock to take care of. I can't be concerned with this bush right now. Folks, we can say that we have so many things to do, but there is one thing that we must do. See God. And not only was it a place where he was alone and apart, a place where the only thing you see with God, but it was a quiet place. I mean, he's on the backside of the desert. He's away from the city. He's away from all the noise and all the distractive noise of life. He was at a place where God wanted him only to see God, and God wanted him only to hear God. To hear God. Because also so many times, we can listen and pay more attention with our ears, our mind, and our heart to someone else other than God. And God wants us in a place where the one we are listening to hear him speak to me is God and God alone. And that's where God led Moses this morning. That's where God led Moses that day. He led him to the backside of the desert, to the Mount of God, a place that was totally alone, totally separate from everybody else, a place where the only thing he saw was the presence of God, so the only thing he would hear would be the voice of God. And that's where we need to be this morning. That's where we need to be in our lives. So that God can do what he wants to do in each one of our lives. And so first of all, we see the path of God. But then second of all, we see the place of God. This place that God brought Moses to. The desert, on the backside of the desert. You look at it on the map, and you look at it in a geographical book. Doesn't look like a special place. Nothing magnificent about the place. It's just a desert. You walk into this room this morning and say, well, what's so special about this room? Just a bunch of blue chairs and a bunch of gray carpet with a bunch of white walls. And God says, no. The place where I have brought you to that you might see me and you might hear me is not just any old place. Look what he says in verse number 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. That phrase right there, the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Holy ground. That is something that Christianity has forgotten all about. the holiness of God. The holiness of God. The whole Old Testament priesthood, offerings and sacrifice. God said we're to make a difference between the holy and the unclean, between that which is holy and that which is not holy. And God said to Moses, he says, a place where you are standing upon is holy ground. I've been doing a study, personal study throughout the scriptures from Genesis through to Revelation on the actual ground, the actual earth. You go to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And that place where God put Adam and Eve was a holy place. And when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, God sent them forth from that place and put cherubims around it to protect that place that was holy. And Moses, God says to Moses, this place where you're standing is holy. It's holy. It might seem like dirt to you. It might seem like a barren desert to you. It might seem like just earth to you. But he says, it is a holy place. And as God's people, as Christians, we need to get back to the point where we start thinking again about the places and the things of God that God says are holy. 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 Holy to God because they belong to God. This place was holy because God was there. Any place where God is a holy place. Anything that belongs to God is a holy thing. In the gospel, when it speaks about the birth of Jesus Christ, and God is speaking and telling about how Jesus Christ would be born, he says to Mary, that holy thing which is conceived in thee is of the Holy Ghost. Right there, he said, my son is holy, and his purpose is holy, his work is holy, his sacrifice is holy. The salvation that we have through Jesus Christ is holy. But if we're going to have God do a work in our hearts, we need to understand that the things of God, the places of God, the things that belong to God are holy. Stop and consider this morning what God says is holy. What God says is holy. Number one, this right here. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. God says these are the holy scriptures. That book that you hold in your hand this morning is holy. It's not just a book. We were up at the book sale yesterday up in Salem. And I got two full bags of books. Two big bags of books, $6 a piece. Bags filled with books. And yet there was one book in those two bags that was different from every other book. Was a Bible. In fact, that Bible made it worth the price of the whole sale. I bought a giant print Bible for $12. Pretty much brand new. You can't buy that anywhere on the web for $12. But that book itself was different than every other book. Because folks, listen, do you understand that every time you open up this Bible right here, that you have just touched and opened up to your eyes and your heart something that is holy to God. That separates it from every other piece of written literature in the world. He says the scriptures, the written word of God, is absolutely holy. But that isn't the only thing that's holy. Your life is holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Listen, if the ground that Moses stood on the backside of a desert, if God said that place, that ground is holy because of the presence of God, how much more is your body holy because of the Holy Spirit that lives within you? We've forgotten about that, folks. This is holy. Your body is holy. Your marriage is holy. Your marriage is a holy thing of God. From Genesis chapter 2 to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6, where Jesus himself said, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder, to Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 21 down to verse number 33, that says your marriage, a marriage between a husband and a wife in Christ, is the picture of the relationship of Jesus Christ with the church. He says, I speak, it's a mystery. To Revelation chapter 19, where it speaks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. If we would treat our marriages as holy, would not that make a difference? Sure it would. The reason why we struggle in marriages is because we look at them from a wrong perspective. If we look at marriage through the eyes of God, through the Word of God, through the example of Christ, through the picture of Christ, we would say, my marriage is holy. It's holy. Not something to be treated lightly or irreverently, but it's holy. The church is holy. Ephesians chapter 2, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. And you know what that does? That makes everything about today. Today. You know what today is? It's not only the day that the Lord hath made. It's the Lord's day. Revelation chapter 1. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was speaking about Sunday, the day that Jesus Christ arose from the grave. He said, it's the Lord's day. So when you take all of that together, you know what? This morning, God has led us here to this holy place this morning. God has led us here, folks. And he says, this morning, he says, we need to understand that we are in a holy place to meet with a holy God, to hear what a holy God has to say to us. That's where God led Moses. That's where God led John, the Apostle John. Towards the end of his life, John finds himself on an island, the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. John could have very well, like Moses said, how did I get here? Why am I here? For the same reason that God led Moses to the backside of the desert. Because just as Moses found himself on the backside of the desert, and just as Moses turned aside to see that great sight, which was the Lord God in the midst of that burning bush, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a great voice. And then he says, I turned to see. And what did he see? He saw Jesus Christ in all his holiness. Most unusual place. But a place where God led both of those men. Apart from everything else. So the only thing they would see, the only thing they would hear was God. That's why God has brought us here this morning. So that we would be in a quiet place apart from everything else and alone with God. So that we could see Him. So that we could hear Him. God has brought us from the moment we are born all the way through life to October 31st, 2021 at 10:30. I've got a clock up here now. It's working well. Don't know what it's doing, but it's working well. So that we've been in this holy place in the presence of a God who is holy. Why? 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 That's the question. Why? Why did God bring Moses there? Why did God bring John there? Why did God bring Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 to a place where he would see the Lord high and lifted up and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. We'll look at verse number 5. Verse number 4, the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. You see, when we think of the question why, when we think of the purpose, there's a path that God led us here, the place that God led us to, but the purpose. The question is not, why did I come this morning? The question is, why did God bring me here this morning? Why did God bring me here? You know, it's interesting because there's a difference here in this portion of Scripture between two other places in Scripture. Two other places where men were brought into the presence of God. Here in Exodus chapter 3, we could go to Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. We could go to Revelation chapter 1, where John said, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. But you know, there's something unique about this passage of Scripture. In a moment, we'll see what Moses did. We'll see how Moses responded. And the response in Exodus 3 is the same as the response in Isaiah chapter 6. The same response is Revelation chapter 1. But there's something different here. Because here in Isaiah, or here in Exodus chapter 3, God didn't leave Moses at the point where Moses is saying, why am I here and what should I do? God made it very clear. Because God wants it to be very clear to you and me this morning why he has brought us here. He's brought us here for what he says in verse number 5. Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Interesting what God says to Moses. Before God leads him to the place where God would tell him what he wanted him to do in his life, before he would tell Moses, I want to use you to deliver Israel out of the bondage of slavery, before he said to him, I want you to stand before the people and tell them who I am, before he said that, he says, take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. Why? Why did God say that? We have a custom, a habit, if you will, a principle that when you walk into a place, if you're wearing a hat, you take your hat off. And the reason you take your hat off when you walk into a place is out of respect. This is more than that. This is more than simple respect or reverence. In a simple phrase, it's this. It's the utmost humility before the utmost holiness. It's humility face to face with holiness. God brought Moses face to face with his holiness. And God said to Moses, Moses, I want you to take your shoes off. Moses, I want you to humble yourself to the utmost in the presence of my holiness. And what did Moses do? Look at the next verse. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You see, when we are brought to face with the holiness of God, the purpose is that we would be humbled to the utmost extreme in our personal life. What did Isaiah say? Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is brought to the place where in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne high and lifted up. And the cherubim saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the post shook and the place shook. And Isaiah's response is what God was telling Moses to do. Because Isaiah's response was this, woe is me, for I am undone. And he says, why? Because I've seen the King. I've seen the Lord in all his glory. John on the Isle of Patmos, on the Lord's day, in the Spirit on the Lord's day, here's a great voice, turns to see, and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ in all his holiness and all his splendor and all his glory. And John says, and I fell at his feet as if I were dead. And God brought these three men to the same place. Different locations, different times, different methods of how God got them there. He led Moses through tending sheep to the backside of the desert. He led Isaiah through a position of great prominence. He led John to an island where he is cast upon because he was preaching the gospel. Three different paths that God led these men to. Three different locations, if you will. But God brought them all to the same place, where they'd be face to face with him. Nothing between. And they would understand and realize and let the realization and the understanding that they were in the presence of a holy God bring them to the place where they would hide their face before God, where they would cry out, "Woe is me," or where they fall as if they were dead at the feet Christ. And if there's one reason why God has brought us here this morning, if there's one reason, and there is one reason, it's because God wants us to be face to face with his holiness. Because when we come face to face with his holiness, we'll either respond and be humbled before God, or we'll turn away and just go our own way. But 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6 says this: humble yourself. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. How did God lead us here this morning? As only God could. As only God could. God orchestrated your path so that you would be here this morning. Because God wanted you to be in a special place. A place apart from everything else. A place where you could be alone in his presence, so that your heart could be moved by the realization that we are in the presence this morning of a holy God. And allow that realization and that understanding and that knowledge to move us to the place where we say, "Lord, who am I? Who am I? Who am I that I should be in your presence this morning? Face to face with the holiness of God. What will you do? How will you respond?" Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank this morning for thy word. And Lord, I pray that your word has brought us to an understanding of your presence. Lord, that we'd understand that we stand before thee, O God, before a God that is holy, holy, holy. The Lord God is holy, the Lord of hosts. And Lord, that we might humble ourselves before thee. For Lord, only when we humble ourselves before thee will you lift us up. And so Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that as you have led us here this morning to this place, this moment in time, that we would behold your presence and your holiness and we would humble ourselves before thee. In Jesus' name, amen.